Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 680. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamma, and I'm just as amazed as everyone else that it only took us 78 years to get to episode 680.
Yes, I was just thinking about our epic record of recording shows.
Yeah, we are on a roll, and you can check out all the shows on a roll at contextmachine.io.
Yes, you can, and you can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at contextmachine and on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
Also, today's episode is sponsored by Rogue Amoeba.
Oh, 78 years going strong with a fantastic sponsor. Yay, us. And we will tell you more about Rogue Amoeba later in the show.
Woohoo.
Speaking of epic faceplants.
Wait, I got to go. I hear my mom calling.
So, do you remember last week when we were talking about the excellent Andor series, the Star Wars Andor thing? And we were talking about the Gorman language, and you told me something that was incorrect.
No, I told you something that's correct. I was given wrong information in an interview.
The bottom line is that you told us something that is obviously and epically untrue.
And so now I'm disappointed with the producers of Andor.
So anyway, the deal is...
You know
is,
what, Brian?
Yeah.
What? I think they did this on purpose just to throw me under a bus.
That...
And I'm still trying to figure out, what did I do to them?
That is a reasonable hypothesis. So the issue is the Gorman language, the planet of, is the planet Gorman?
The planet of Gore.
Gore.
The planet of Gore.
And the people of Gore are the Gorman.
Yes.
And they speak Gore.
Yes.
Okay. And I was commenting about how I love the fact that they had made up a language and they based it on French. And then you erroneously stepped in and said, no, they did not base it on French. And it turns out that they based it on French.
Okay. So I didn't erroneously say that. I said, I accurately relayed the information that I saw in an interview. Unfortunately, it appears that the producers of the show didn't actually accurately relay what was really happening with the language.
Which really, that seems like a peculiar lie. I don't know why they would.
Maybe it was an unintentional omission of information.
No freaking way, man. So is it possible, and this part is not me joking around, is it possible that you took away the wrong memory from watching an interview, or that you misunderstood?
You know, we live in crazy times, so anything is possible. I'm certain of what I saw, but boy, would I feel stupid if I went and found the interview and watched it again, and I was like, oh, crap, I misinterpreted
what they said. The Lords of Kobol know that I have conflated stuff. And it only gets worse as I get older.
Okay, then I blame you.
That's fair. Anyway, the actors that they brought in, most of the actors at least that were speaking Gorman, were actually French people, and the language was intentionally just like we were talking about. The fact that their dress, their look, even their lo-fi, tech stuff. You know, it was all based on images that we have.
French Resistance.
Of the French Resistance from World War II, from movies and stuff. And so it does turn out that the language was specifically modeled on French.
Well, I'm not going to say you're right, because then I'd only encourage you, and we can't have that. So instead, I'll say, I think it is super cool how they have woven these themes from World War II into Andor, and how nicely that dovetails in to themes that they have running through Rogue One.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that I was right and you were wrong. And and we can move on.
I still don't understand how either of us have friends.
Well, I think you have friends because you're really awesome and you're a super nice guy. Me, that's a good question. It's a really good question.
It's, you know, well, I got nothing.
So we should also talk about the fact that the series did end. This, we're recording this on Thursday, the May 15th. Murderbot starts tomorrow, by the way, on Apple TV. Apple TV Plus, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to that. But the Andor released the final three episodes of the series and the season on Tuesday. It was freaking awesome. It was.
My schedule has been so bonkers, I have not watched them yet.
I did not realize that.
I am hoping that that I can find the time and the energy to squeeze them in before I go to bed tonight.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And you have, how many more shows do you have to record today?
One more after this. For those of you that are trying to keep track of how the timeline fits together, Thursdays for me start off with the big show on the British Tech Network. I'm the interim host and have been the interim host for, 5 years, 6 years now?
Stick with it, man. You're gonna get it.
Maybe if I keep trying, maybe I can be the host instead of the interim host. In the afternoons, here Brian and I are doing Context Machine, and then we'll wrap up and I will have probably enough time for a snack. And then I jump into In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsberg show, which is live. Then 9 o'clock Mountain Time, 9 a.m. Mountain Time on Friday, I'm back at it for the Mac show live on the British Tech Network.
That's way too much.
Yeah, and that doesn't even take into account Tuesdays. That's when Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live is. And then I also have to fit in with all of this, the show that that you helped shame into existence, Retro Rewatch, because Patrice Brendamore, she was appalled at the episode where you started talking about Stargate SG-1, and I let it drop that I had never seen the show.
What do you
now? Now we're doing.
Tell us what you're doing first. I shouldn't have interrupted.
Oh no, that's fine. So for that one, we're watching Stargate SG-1 episode by episode, and then talking about each one. And it's fun because we're talking about it from Patrice's perspective as someone who's seen the series multiple times, and my perspective as someone who has just watched whatever episode we're talking about. I have perspectives on things that are happening in the show that of course are way off base, but that's only because I don't know the rest of the series. And I have perspectives that I bring to the show that didn't occur to Patrice simply because it's my first time watching it. And we're having a lot of fun with that. But yeah, you're to blame for that one, Brian, because you were appalled and called it out. And then Patrice was appalled And instead of just using it as an opportunity to make fun of me, and to be fair, that makes for a good show. So well done on you for making fun of me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So what if Patrice, y'all are going to do
decided to do a show
per episode? That means you will soon have more episodes than the Context Machine.
Well, how long did Stargate SG-1 run? That was like 8 years or something.
It was ten seasons. The
last 20-ish episodes.
Yeah, it started off with 20 or 22, and then quickly went down to 20. And the last couple of seasons were, 18 and 16 episodes. The show was ending as seasons were shrinking.
Okay. So yeah, there's a lot of episodes where we are a little more than halfway through season two, I believe.
Cool.
With our episodes right now.
Have you watched ahead?
No, I watch each episode.
Oh, because you actually watched the first season though, as I recall. You kind of binged the first season.
Well, I wouldn't say binge, but I did watch the first season kind of fast. And
But then you stopped, and we were
recording episodes at that point to hear sausage being made, people. Patrice and I recorded way ahead so that we'd have a bunch of episodes banked so that if we had a window where our schedules were messed up and we couldn't record some, we wouldn't have points where there was like weeks without an episode. So I kind of had to watch season one pretty fast because of how quickly we were trying to record.
Well, so my real question is, why in the, you've got all these shows, why in the heck do you waste your time recording this with me? You have all these lovely, fantastic people, and you choose to spend some of your time with me.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I got nothing. Actually, Brian, I love you, man. You are a wonderful friend, and I genuinely enjoy our time together.
Same.
And don't forget, every time I say that, you have to send me $20. I genuinely enjoy the time we spend together.
How y'all recorded shows ahead of time? I've got envelopes full of $20 addressed to you. Stacked up. Yeah, ready to go. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Tint D real quick. Can we do that?
Fine, whatever. No, actually, yes. This is a thing you dropped in my lap digitally just a few days ago. And my first reaction was, why would I want this when I can do this myself with Affinity Photo or Photoshop? And then it occurred to me, not everyone can do this with Affinity Photo or Photoshop. And it suddenly became like really cool. But wait. Do the rewind sound. Whoa, Brian, I haven't heard about this before. Please tell me about this amazing thing.
So Jean-Baptiste Beau reached out to me. He is the developer behind Oniri Inc. It could be Oniri. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Oniri Inc. He is a Mac developer, an independent Mac developer, and he was pitching me as the editor of the Mac Observer, so I fixed that. He's made an app that makes it super easy to make basic changes to your icons on your Mac, your folder icons.
And that's it. And it's
a free app.
That's it. But it's way cooler than Brian made it sound.
Okay. And
to be fair, you made it sound cool. So, okay, Brian, here's the thing that stood out to me as the real killer feature on this. So you remember in the old days of Mac OS, like System 8 and System 9, where you could select a folder, and when you would do the flag thing on it, it would change the color of the whole folder.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a limited selection of colors to mm-hmm. choose from. But that was cool. You could physically change the color of a folder. Well, digitally physically change the color of a folder without having to set up new icons. And that's a thing that's been lost in going back several versions of Mac OS X. And this app, you can go in and change the color of a folder, but you can make it any color you want. And that's super yes. cool for organizing.
You can use a color picker even. Wait, that may not be true. Let me.
Well, it has some form of color picker.
Oh yeah, it's got color sliders.
Without that, there you go. So that is technically a color picker.
Yes.
I'm trying to make it sound like you knew what you were saying. So work with me here.
That's fair. So by the way, while we were talking about it, I realized, and I should have realized this from the get-go because it's right there in front of me, that you can also put an icon on your folders. And that you can choose from the Lucida and SF symbols, so the font-based symbols, you can use those, but you can also use emojis.
Which is cool.
Yeah. I love that. And it's just super easy and simple. And you can make them bigger or larger. You can choose any emoji. So if your deal is color coding, if your deal is using emojis or symbols to make these
just
changes,
customizing.
Yeah. You can upload your own images to the app to do this, and everything's local, right? It's not loading stuff up to a server, at least as far as I know. And it's just it's a nice fun app, and it's free.
It is.
And it's for your Mac. Yay.
And to bring it back full circle to the part that you edited out, what I have been doing historically to customize folder icons.
Uh-huh.
I open up Affinity Photo and I make the graphic that I want for the folder icon, which could be a folder that has whatever color I want on it. And then I save that file out, and then I do a get info on the folder, and then I paste in the new icon. And so it's a thing that you can do, but holy crap, this is way faster and easier, yeah. Especially if you're not comfortable with image editing apps.
I'm super comfortable with image editing apps, but this is just so fast and simple. It's really, really easy to use. And there are a couple of videos that play on the Mac App Store page for this that, you know, basically show you what to do. It's, you know, it's cool. Check it out. We'll have a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, that's not an ad. This is just something that Brian found out about, and it's a cool little utility.
Yep.
So we're sharing.
Yep, that's true. But speaking of ads, we do have a sponsor. I was wondering if you would be willing to tell us about Rogue Amoeba.
Oh my gosh, Brian, I would love to. So Rogue Amoeba, they make all of the audio apps that your Mac needs that in some cases you didn't even realize it needed. So they make Audio Hijack and Loopback and Farrago, and the one that I want to talk about, which is SoundSource. And the reason I want to talk about this one is because this is something everyone can use regardless of whether or not you need to have any other audio tools. So it lets you set your audio outputs at a granular level. So you have one app that you want going to one set of speakers and another app that you always want going to your AirPods or another app always goes to your Mac's built-in speakers, whatever. You can do all of that. But there's another thing in there that I think a lot of people don't realize, and it's that you have EQs for all of the different audio outputs and inputs that you're using, and you can control volume for each of your inputs or outputs from the SoundSource menu. And it's just super easy and super useful. And it's a resource, a utility that I simply cannot live without when I'm using my Mac. So here's the deal, Brian.
Yep.
You need to act fast. Through the end of May, our listeners of the Context Machine, they can save 20% off any purchase by using the coupon code CONTEXT, because, you know, Context Machine. So head over to macaudio.com/context to learn more about the Rogue Amoeba apps and to get your 20% off your purchase. And thank you, Rogue Amoeba, for being our sponsor.
Yes, thank you. We love having great Apple developers as sponsors.
I agree completely.
Yeah, Rogue Amoeba is one of the best companies out there.
They rock.
Yep, they do. All right, let's talk about, believe it or not, CarPlay.
Yeah, there's a new CarPlay announcement.
Yeah.
That happened, I guess, today.
Oh, is that today?
I think it's from today.
It's either today or yesterday.
It would be really easy to check, and yet I'm not.
So let's see. I'm looking at 9 to 5 max coverage. It's dated today.
All right. Yeah. Well, then we're going to go with it's from today.
Okay. I will look up the, Apple Newsroom. Make sure.
So while you look that
11 hours and 10 minutes ago.
Okay. So it was today. There we go. Look at that. Look at that, Brian. We are on top of current news.
We
current
are topics. We're top men.
Yeah. Top.
So tell us what has been announced.
Okay, so CarPlay 2 was announced, a couple years ago at WWDC? And
I think I was having my stroke.
Yeah,
that I did actually not know that checks out. That they had announced CarPlay 2. And I'm serious, so
that would probably fit with your stroke window.
My stroke was June 4th, 2 years ago. Oh, 2 years ago in a month, in a couple of weeks. So, yeah. Anyway, this is totally news to me.
Totally news to you. And to be fair, I don't remember how long ago this was announced. I thought it was a couple years ago. It may actually have been a little bit before that, but it would still fit that with your stroke and the timeframes. This would be an easy thing to have been jettisoned out of your data bank.
Or as I was drunk.
People drink responsibly. And what makes that really funny to me is that Brian actually doesn't drink.
Oh, right.
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 People have been waiting for CarPlay 2 to roll out into cars. And so today we find out that it's been rebranded as CarPlay Ultra. And
which is a better name.
And the Better I agree.
Than CarPlay Plus. And,
yeah, or CarPlay Max.
Yes.
CarPlay SE.
CarPlay Air.
CarPlay Air. That's the one for scooters.
That's funny.
Yeah. So it's a thing, and it's actually rolling out now. And the timing, well, I know a lot of people have been saying, it's so delayed. I can't believe it. No, it takes a long time to get a car from design through production and then actually shipping. So the time frame seems totally reasonable to me. But first vehicle to get it, Brian, you should go pick up two. Aston Martin.
Yeah, it's a real workman's release.
Yeah. But other brands, Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis, they are working on their CarPlay Ultra integration. And there's also going to be software updates coming out for existing CarPlay compatible cars. So you get a lot of these features. What you won't get is like the digital dashboard part.
Let me actually approach this from a slightly different direction. First of all, it is coming out with new Aston Martin vehicle orders in the U.S. and Canada starting today. Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis have all announced support for it, and they are, quote, working on bringing CarPlay to Ultra to drivers as we speak. Now, that leaves a whole lot of car brands that are not supporting this. And the big part that cannot be, I don't think, updated is the support for controlling your car's features through CarPlay. That's the part that won't be able to be available for any update. And even for updates, your car manufacturer would have to support it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now there are other car makers that said early on that they would be supporting what we now know as CarPlay Ultra. I think it's just a matter of time before we get more car makers saying, okay, and we're ready to start rolling it out. I recall, it was like Subaru and Toyota were both on board.
And that makes sense. Although, you know, it's funny,
and Volvo
Priuses for the longest time, you had to pay extra to have CarPlay. And
really?
Yes. Yes. I have a friend with the Prius, and she doesn't have CarPlay. And I'm like, well, why not? It's like, didn't come with it. And this was, you know, years after CarPlay had been introduced. So anyway, regardless, I'm concerned about crappy automakers like GM. Crappy, not because the cars are crappy, although you may have different feelings about that. That's not the point. But their attitude about CarPlay, which is like, no, we want to sell more services to our customers, and so we're not going to support CarPlay at all. And like Rivian, for instance, Rivian doesn't support CarPlay. And what I've read in the past is that they didn't want another company having control of their driver experience in any aspect of the driving experience, which, again, I find frustrating because I don't want you having control over my driver experience. So give me my freaking iPhone, man.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can appreciate the idea of wanting to control the entire user experience, because that's actually a very Apple thing.
Yep.
However, when I'm in my car, I want to have the full experience of my iPhone integration in my car.
Yes. Yes. 100%. 100%. And I am okay with the car company saying, no, your CarPlay cannot control our car. We're not okay with that. I am equally okay with that. But for my phone and my maps, I want my iPhone. I am not going to pay you for your mapping service when I have an iPhone. I'm not going to do it. And I am not going to pay for another music streaming service if I've got Apple Music in particular. I mean, I realize that most people have Spotify. Spotify is a terrible company, people. Spotify is an evil company. Ditch your Spotify subscriptions. Spotify has been on some of their streaming the lists that they call those. I had a stroke.
What you mean, like playlists?
Yes, is that
what
you're talking about? Yes, they're playlists.
Okay,
like their ambient music playlists. They're like soft jazz playlists. They have been mixing in AI made music designed to rip off other songs and slipping them in there so that they don't have to pay royalties for more and more of their music that's streaming. That is evil. That is evil. Evil.
That is evil. Hey, while you've been soapboxing, and thank you because it gave me time to like like do some online research. Let your friend know that they actually do have CarPlay support for free in their Prius. Toyota does not charge for CarPlay. They have a separate subscription for Toyota Intelligent Assistant.
So when I looked into this, that was not the case. That may be the case now, but for her model, which is an older model now, several years old, right?
Well, so Toyota, they started supporting CarPlay in the Prius. Let's see. I have a 2013 Prius and it does not have CarPlay in it. So it'd be like the 2014 or 2015 model. Anyhow, regardless, what you're missing out on now, if you're not paying for a Toyota Intelligent Assistant subscription, their assistant tool will only support commands for radio and phone. Mm. But since you have Siri, you can still do all your regular Siri stuff.
I see. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. So anyway, CarPlay Ultra, I am delighted that Apple is, you know, Apple does have a long track record of eventually abandoning stuff. And so I am glad to see CarPlay not being one of those things, at least not yet. Not that I think that they would abandon CarPlay, because they know that the connectivity in our car is an important place. That every phone maker wants to be in every car possible.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is exciting. I mean, I realize I'm late to this news. Again, I had a stroke. But the fact that you can control more of your car's features through CarPlay Ultra, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, Brian, this is probably my fault that you didn't know about all of this stuff coming out with CarPlay Ultra. Because, I mean, you did have a stroke, therefore it's on me to make sure that you're up to date on all of these pieces of information. That's so true. I apologize.
That's true. You have some splaining to do, sir.
I do. And I think that that I should start by explaining that that everything with CarPlay Ultra is actually made up language and has nothing to do with French.
Okay, all right, good. Let me make a note. Let's
go. Take notes.
Got it. Made up language. Got it. Okay, that's good. All right. That's CarPlay Ultra, and I think we can do. I think we can do this, and then I can say that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. We're going to check that any day now. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show.
Also, thank you to Rogue Amoeba for being our sponsor this week. Head over to macaudio.com/context so you can learn more about their products and get 20% off any purchase using the coupon code CONTEXT. Thanks, Rogue Amoeba.
Yeah, thanks, Rogue Amoeba. Thanks, Rogue Amoeba. And thank you, Jeff. Right? That's all for this week.
Right. Yeah, top man.
Yeah.